The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples went off, entered the city, found it had been just as they were told, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they drank from it. He said to them, "This is the blood of the covenant, for which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went off to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning to you all. They would have to bring in a substitute when you had that beautiful service to screw it up on film. We celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi. There's a sequence here: death, resurrection, the sending of the Spirit, the birth of the church, then the mysterious doctrine of the Trinity. And it's very appropriate at this point to become earthy, come down to body and blood and real presence and Eucharist. And our readings do this in a very striking way. In eight different places in our three readings, eight different places, blood is mentioned. Now, I know that there are some people here who recoil when they see blood. My three sisters are all nurses. They make a living out of it. The ancient people, I imagine there were some people that got a little queasy when there was blood dripping here and there. But for the ancient people, it's really good to understand that blood was sacred. I mean, you take blood out of an animal, it's dead, right? So blood is something that carries life, and it should be revered and respected. And that was very much part of the first reading, where there is animal sacrifice, bulls that are sacrificed, and then there's a sprinkling ceremony. Now, if I could just imagine what it would be like if I had a big bowl of blood and I could sprinkle you all with it here, and would you feel your relationship with God was deepened? No, you would think your clothes are messed up and this is disgusting. But that's not the way they thought then. Notice the ceremony. Bulls are sacrificed. Blood is first sprinkled on the altar as a symbol of the invisible God. And then the other part of that blood is sprinkled on the people to signal a relationship between God, invisibly embodied there on the altar, and the people. There's that link that is made, and it's very significant. Go to the second reading that we had
from Hebrews, and it starts out by saying, when Christ came as the high priest, Christ was a layman. He was never ordained. But being God is the source of all ordination. And it was primarily because of the perfect nature. We're not sacrificing animals. He's giving himself. And this is the Feast of Yom Kippur. It's a Feast of Atonement for the Jews. Jesus lays down his life for atonement. So there's an intimate link that goes on here. And notice the beautiful statement at the end of the first paragraph. Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from what? Dead works to worshiping the living God. That's the transformation we go through by the action of Jesus Christ. And then you go to the gospel, from the Gospel of Mark, and they celebrate the Passover. It is part of the ministry of Jesus. You could look at the Gospel of Luke in particular, and you would see that Jesus does table fellowship. He invites all kinds of people, sinners, people screwed up and so on, pretty much like us. Don't laugh, it's true. Come to us and gives himself to us through the fellowship of a table, a meal. Meals are sacred. Notice here that it refers to the cup. I probably shouldn't say this, especially on film, but chalice is not really a correct interpretation of the word kalix. Kalix means cup. That's what Jesus used at the Last Supper. And to continue to use the word cup keeps a link with the Seder, with the Passover, with the Jews. It's important. It's similar. There's some confusion about poured out for many. I don't want to turn this into a classroom, but pro multis in Latin means for everyone. We're not Calvinists. Some predestined to be damned, some predestined to be saved. It's for everyone. The best translation would be for the many, which means the multitudes, everyone. So here we have this and one other point about the gospel. A typical Seder meal, everyone has their own cup. And at a certain point, they each drink from their own cup. That's not what Jesus does. He passes his cup around to everyone, which is to show a kind of profound unity in this action which he is about to take to lay down his life. Three brief points, one about Jesus, one about covenant, and one about gift. I mentioned before the altar was the sign for the Jews of the invisible God, right? Jesus is, as I like to say, God with skin. He's visible. And it says in the second reading, he's the one mediator. What do you mean mediator? Think of God. This is not spatially correct, all right? I know you're very sophisticated. But think of God and think of us, right? The God-man brings that together. So if you want to be a mediator, you got to have conversation with both parties, right? God, human, in Christ, there is the bonding. It comes together in a profound way. Second, covenant. In that first reading, it says twice, the people say, we will do everything the Lord asks of us. Right? Wrong. We don't. I was in a conversation with a lawyer recently. Please. He specializes in contracts. And he was likening what he knows in his profession to the covenant. You know, you make an agreement, you have conditions, you can monitor it, and if it's broken, it's broken, right? Somebody doesn't follow through. A covenant is not a contract. A covenant means, in the Bible, that God remains faithful even if we're not faithful. If God broke the covenant every time we screwed up, we'd be in deep trouble. We really would. Even if it's not big stuff, Let's just say we're preoccupied with other things, we're kind of indifferent, we're slow, we're sloth, we're lax. The real presence means God is really present at all times and we're busy about other things. So think of covenant as my third point, gift. First, Jesus the mediator. Covenant is much richer and deeper than a contract. It's a gift that is never revoked. This came home to me 30 years ago. I was celebrating a Mass at a University of Dayton, where I served for many years with great delight. And it was the first Mass of when the students returned, so it was late August. There was a young woman in the class that I had that semester before. She finished her first year, she was coming back. Her name was Alice. And after Mass, Alice came into the sacristy, and she was all excited. Fantastic. She says, "Father, I went, she was serious about her faith. She says, I just came from a week-long Bible study group with Protestants. It was fantastic. We studied the Bible." I said, "Yes, I wish more Catholics did that." And she said, "At the end, the last night we were there, we were asked to stand up, if we wanted to stand up, come forward, and give our lives to Jesus Christ." She said, "That was just thrilling. It was fantastic to stand up, walk up there, and say, I give myself to Jesus." And then she said, "Why don't we ever do that?" I said, "What do you mean, why don't we ever do that? What do you think we do every Sunday? You're invited to come up and not just give yourself to Christ, but Christ gives himself to you." She said, "Oh, I never thought of that." And I said, "That's big pop. The priests never say it." I took the blame. But I said, "It's really important. That's the gift. Think of that. God remains present. God is real. It's in tangible, physical terms, symbolically. It's good news. Even if we screw up, the covenant remains faithful. We should be thankful. It is indeed good news."